We're going to discuss today how to work with people to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is not difficult to receive. We have made it difficult because of our own traditions. In the Bible, in the beginning, if you know anything about apostolic procedures, you will know that they got the Holy Ghost while they were preaching. The Holy Ghost fell on the people while the apostles preached. Or they came out of the water as they were baptized in Jesus' name and began to speak with tongues. Even the Roman Catholic Church admits this. They will admit, and they have admitted to us in New York State, priests that we have debated with and discussed these issues with, they have admitted that in the beginning they know that when they baptized them in Jesus' name, they came out of the water speaking with tongues. Now that's something. If they admit it, then we need to get with the program. And what happens is this, and I know what I'm talking about because I have prayed thousands of people through the Holy Ghost in the years I've worked in the ministry. I mean thousands of people have received the Holy Ghost, and I have worked with them in the last 27 years. A person should receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with tongues, as soon as they repent. They should get it. And the reason they should get it is because the baptism of the Holy Ghost is for believers. It's not for sinners, it's for believers. For that reason, you must repent in order to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You cannot get the Holy Ghost unless you repent first. It is impossible. But if a person is repented, they are automatically a candidate for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they should receive it easily. Now, our traditions say that you must repent, then get baptized, and then receive the Holy Ghost. But the household of Cornelius totally blows that to pieces because they got the Holy Ghost while the preaching was going on before they were ever baptized in Jesus' name. And God did that purposely to let us know that you can get the Holy Ghost before or after baptism as soon as a person repents. All right? But repentance is the prerequisite to receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And again, the Holy Ghost is for believers. It is not for sinners. That's why it's so easy for me to work with a Baptist or a Lutheran, because they're already believers. Their problem is they have been poisoned against us. Okay, it's not that they don't believe in Jesus, and it's not that they don't love Jesus. They do, and their dedication and repentance put some Pentecostals to shame. They are repented. You're going to have to get that off somehow or other.
Okay, think high on that note. You all flat, you
because no one's going to get anything out of this, including me.
We're going to do another song, and this will probably take most of our time. Friend of a Wounded Heart. The chorus is simple.
Well, are we making any sense so far? Are you getting anything I'm saying? Okay. Because I want to help you. We in Pentecost, we have got traditions among us. Some really powerful traditions. Now, traditions are not always bad. But in this case, it is bad. And I'll tell you why. I was not raised in Pentecost. I was not born in this or raised in it. I came into Pentecost when I was 23 years old. And then I went off to a Bible school that was extremely traditional also. And I didn't know any different because I wasn't raised in this. I hadn't explored it or researched it. I simply came into this when I was 23 years of age. And you were the people calling the shots for me in those days. So I did what you said and believed what you preached, because that's all I knew to do. All right? You said that it was important for me to repent. So I did. I repented one night, like on Sunday night, came back on, how was it? On a Wednesday, Thursday night, and got baptized in Jesus' name, and then began to tarry for the Holy Ghost on Sunday night, and continued to tarry for 2 months till I got it. Okay? That is a Pentecostal tradition that has little or nothing to do with apostolic procedures in the Scriptures. And the Bible school I went to also taught that you repent And then you come and get baptized in Jesus' name, and then you begin to tarry for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is totally unapostolic. That is totally our own Pentecostal tradition. And in my own pastoring, in my own working in church work, I had no difficulty at all getting people prayed through the Holy Ghost immediately. Because if you are anointed when you preach, and a sinner or a believer feels the convicting power of God, they are a candidate for the Holy Ghost. It's just a matter of getting them to reach out for God. God wants to get inside an individual more than they want Him inside of them. He wants to live in you. He wants to get inside of you. And so it's only a matter of getting a believer in contact with God. And you do that by creating a spiritual atmosphere of faith where the Spirit of God can move. That's why worship is absolutely total necessity in our church services. That's why Pentecostals need to worship whether they feel like it or not. When you come to church, you need to get with the program. You need to raise your hands, sing, whether you want to or not. No matter what your problems are during the day, sing, clap, worship, stand, get involved with God. For in so doing, you will help yourself and those that are in the service. It's tremendous how it works. Because the Spirit of the Lord inhabiteth what? The praises of the people of God. His Spirit inhabits the praises. So if you build a great big house of praise, He will come and live in that house in a great big way. All right? That's really how it is. So when I pastored, people got the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the song services while the song service was going on. I mean, kids would break down and weep and cry. We'd run to them. They would cry out and ask God to take their sins away, ask God to forgive them. And they would raise their hands and they would begin to speak with tongues. That is apostolic. That is apostolic. That's how it should be. People, when they came in off the streets, the power of God should be so great in our services that they feel Him and that they reach out for Him and that they get it. And if saints would become alive and get out of their seats and go to these people that are weeping near them, that don't know what's going on, lay hands on them and pray for them, there is also a ministry of the laity. And I'm smart enough to know that as a preacher. There is an anointing upon you as a saint. There is an anointing upon the pew. It's not all here. That's also one of our traditions, and that's born out of fear. It has nothing to do with Bible or real apostolic procedures. I'm not afraid of any of you. I can handle any of you. I can handle any saint that's under me. I don't fear anything or anyone at any time for any reason. Because I can handle it. But people who are afraid don't open the doors for people to get involved with this. And you, as a saint, are frustrated if you get motivated and motivated and motivated continuously and you never have a chance to give out with that thing. You become frustrated because motivation without direction is frustration. So you've got it. So you've got it. You need to learn how to transmit it to others, to transmit it to someone else. And in so doing, you develop your own ministry and your own powerful position in God. And that's why we had a tremendous church and still do. Our church in Schenectady is powerful because all of our people minister. All of our saints are involved working. You, if you have any bit of honesty in you at all, you are in trouble when you walk in our church because you're not going to get out of there without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If there is anything in you that wants God for any reason, you are done. We'll get you one way or the other. Because God is powerful and He is able and He knows how to do it. Can you feel my frustration with our traditions? You can feel it in my spirit. If you get me going on those things, I can really plow through. But I won't plow tonight. I'll try to help you understand something. So the Holy Ghost really is easy to receive, but it's a matter of repenting. You need to repent in order to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What is repentance? What is repentance? Repentance comes from the Hebrew word shuva, which means to turn around and come back to your God. That's what repentance is. It means to turn around and to come back. Well, if you repent, genuinely repent of your sins, you are automatically, I reiterate, a candidate for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But now, I have watched something, and you did this to me when I came into this. our tradition says that you are not really repented unless you have come to an altar and you have prayed and cried. That's how it really is. Because if we can get you to that broken point, then we feel that you have really repented. But let me tell you some examples, okay? I've seen people come to altars, cry, weep, fill their handkerchief, my handkerchief, and someone else's handkerchief, get up from the altar and go right out that door and live like the devil. That is not repentance. They're not sorry for their sin. They are sorry because they can't sin, and they've come to the realization. A lot of that crying is that they are struggling. They're not willing to give up the boyfriend or the girlfriend or the lover or the sin or the drugs or whatever. And we think they're repenting, and they are not repenting. They are struggling with the vice that has a hold of them. They're struggling with that, and their flesh cannot let loose. But we demand that because to us that's repentance. But that may not be repentance. Repentance can happen just like that in your heart. Repentance can happen suddenly in your heart. I've watched sinners off the street come into services and revivals, and I've seen the Holy Ghost go to them, and suddenly, just suddenly in the Spirit, you can see it in their face. Something happens. There's like a light bulb comes on. They see, but they don't understand. They haven't had 6 months of Bible college, but something happens in their heart, and they begin to turn and they reach toward God. And the moment they do that, they are in line for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because He's right there for them. He's right there. I've seen people, business people, prominent people, show people. I've prayed all kinds of people through the Holy Ghost. Millionaires. I've prayed all kinds of people through the Holy Ghost. I've seen people walk down to altars and not a tear in sight, and raise their hands, just raise their hands, and begin to worship God. I mean, almost matter-of-factly, without any great demonstration at all of, you know, emotion. And just begin to worship God and begin to speak with tongues in just seconds. Just begin to speak with tongues. But then the tears will begin to run down, because something wonderful happens to you when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You're not the same anymore. There's a fullness. There's a fulfillment. There's something wonderful. The Prince of Peace. He comes in to take up residence in your heart, in your life, in your soul. I've seen so many people get the Holy Ghost and then just break down and weep and sob because they can feel Him, and there's a difference, and they know that something has happened to them. On the other hand, I have worked, I'm just going to give you a lot of examples, then we'll get down to it, but have you ever been in an altar service and you just can't get someone through the Holy Ghost? They're there every service. You've prayed now 4 or 5 months and they still don't have the Holy Ghost. And every service you're exhausted when you go home. Have you ever done that? I've walked away from people and think, who wants the Holy Ghost, you or me? I've already got it. And I get it again when they're trying to get it. All right? What happens is, when you come and pray for the baptism of the Holy Ghost and don't receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, your faith drops. The next time you come and don't get it, your faith drops. The next time you come and don't get it, your faith drops. Until finally, people don't have faith. Chronic seekers don't really have a lot of faith. They're just going through the motions. Because by repeating this action all the time, they can stay in the church and they're accepted. And they have to keep doing this. And sometimes they're a long ways away from the Holy Ghost or even reaching for Him. It's a mechanical thing. You're just going through the mechanics. And when the altar service is over, I watch them because they've walked away from me. They'll just stop praying, take their hands down, straighten their clothes, and really they're not near as hot as I am or perspired as I am. And they haven't expended as much energy as I have. I'm exhausted. They're not. They go out and eat, have a big time. I'm exhausted. They did not get the Holy Ghost because they don't really believe they're going to get the Holy Ghost. And a chronic seeker shifts gears. They stop worshiping and they start begging. And you will never get the Holy Ghost begging. And so when I work with anyone to receive the Holy Ghost, if you watch me, I put my ear down to hear their voice, because I can tell by listening to their voice if they're going to get the Holy Ghost or not. I can tell by the sound of their voice. Now, how could I tell? It's very easy. If someone is standing there and they're just going, hallelujah, 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 forget it. No one's going to get anything. You know what I'm saying? But if someone is praying, hallelujah, 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 Hallelujah. You can hear the reaching in their voice. You can hear the reaching in their spirit. It's not a mechanical thing. They're reaching. They're very near. It's just a matter of them knowing how to yield to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So I listen to people's voices because I can tell by the sound of their voice if they are near to the Holy Ghost, if they're going to get it or not going to get it. In fact, I don't know how many times I've done this. I have stopped people from praying and I've said, stop, just a minute, stop. Stop begging. Just worship. You've got to shift gears. You're not worthy for the Holy Ghost. None of us ever were. You'll never do enough to earn it. So stop begging and just begin to worship. No matter how bad off you may think you are, just worship God, because the Holy Ghost comes in on wings of praise. It's a gift. The Holy Ghost is a gift. If I reach you a gift and you stand there and say, give it to me, give it to me, give it to me, you humiliate me. And we do that to God. We embarrass Him. The Holy Ghost is a gift. So the thing to do is to thank Him for it, or to approach Him with an attitude of praise and worship. And as an altar worker, if you're interested in altar working, and I'm assuming that's what you're interested in because it's why you're here, you have to learn how to know what's going on with the people you're praying with, because many times, they're doing something that no matter how hard you work at it, they will not receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost because they're begging. And it's amazing. I probably should have kept track, but I haven't. But it's amazing how many people I have gotten to shift gears and stop begging and worship and get the Holy Ghost just like that. Just like that. It surprised one woman. She just opened her eyes, looked at me. I said, keep doing it. Just keep doing it. Close your eyes and keep doing it. She spoke in tongues 4 or 5 words, and she just stopped. It was such a surprise. She stopped begging, and she began to worship, because worship is the prerequisite to the miraculous, whether it's infilling of the Holy Ghost or a healing or whatever. Worship is the key to everything. Worship is a marvelous, wonderful, wonderful tool. Try it for a moment. Lift your hands and just worship the Lord. Jesus, I worship You and I praise You because You are God. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Havaya hatailo hovra ko jotolo hovra brasho tekisha. Hatailo hovra braka jotoko rovra bakasha takha. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I pray for the Spirit of the Lord to be upon us in this place tonight, that a spirit of revelation and understanding of God will be here. I worship You for it in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus, 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 I pray, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Now, let me give you some examples to help clarify what I'm trying to get across to you, because, see, I know that some of you could be wonderfully used by God. Some of you here could be marvelously used by the Spirit of the Lord, and I want you to be. In fact, if I were around you all the time, and if I had my way, I would never give up on you. I would be like water dripping on a rock. I'd work on you until you either became a fanatic or you just checked out, one or the other, because that's exactly how I am. You can do it. Everyone say, I can do it. Say it again. Of course you can. God is not looking for numbers particularly. He's not looking for a lot of talent. He's looking for availability. And if you make yourself available to God, God will do something wonderful with you. I was working with some young people just recently in an altar service. These young men want to become preachers. And I said, well, the way to get started is to become a minister. I mean, preaching is one thing, but ministering is the most important thing. Ministering is the most important thing. I do as much work in the altar service as I do in the pulpit. But that is the reason that I get the results I get, is because I work with people in the altar. I'm first a minister and then a preacher, because ministering is where I learned what I know about people, and it's where I learned of myself for the flow through of the Spirit that gets you involved in apostolic procedures. For example, the moment you lay your hand on somebody, there's something that flows from me to you. Can you feel it? You can feel it. Because the moment you touch someone, you become a channel through which the Holy Ghost can operate. And this one young man that wants to become a preacher, he just stands and people are crying and weeping every place. I went up to him and I said, go put your hands on somebody and pray for them. That's how to get involved. Because if you get involved in the ministry, the preaching will come. It will come. It will definitely come. Brother Sister Butcher, my pastors are here. They know it's true. I worked in the altar when I was in their church before I went to Bible college. And Brother Butcher's not afraid of people. He let all of us lay hands on each other and pray for each other. Our altar services were longer than the preaching services and the song services sometimes. And when we started at 7:30, left church at 1:30 in the morning sometimes, didn't we? We did. That's how I came into this. That's why I tell you, I was born in the fire and I cannot sit in the smoke. I mean, however you're born, that's how you're going to be in this thing. Whatever you're under is what you're going to become. Unless there's a tremendous hunger in you and you push to arise to a position that is higher than what you're under. And you can do it. God will use you. He wants to use you. And He will use you. Now, we've talked about our traditions and how strong they are. And our traditions are very, very strong. And for those of you who are latecomers, I'll repeat this. Pentecostal traditions say that you come tonight to the altar and repent. The next service, whatever it is, maybe a Bible study will baptize you. Then you come back on Sunday night and begin to tarry for the Holy Ghost. That is not apostolic. That is our own tradition. It has nothing to do with the Scriptures at all. They did not operate that way. Because we have strung this thing out and developed our own traditions, now it is giving much rise to a very important issue. Where is the blood applied? There's a big hassle, even among some of our own people, as to where is the blood of Jesus applied? Is it applied at repentance? Is it applied at baptism? And if you say it's applied at repentance, then they link you with those who say that baptism is not necessary. If you say that the blood is applied at repentance, or the blood is applied at baptism, then you are just sort of nullifying the glorious experience of repentance. How many know the tabernacle plan? The blood in the tabernacle plan was sprinkled at the brazen altar, which was repentance, the laver, which was baptism, and all the pieces of the furniture, which was worship and praise in the Word. So if you really are a Christian, the blood is applied all through this business. It's applied in the song service. It's applied in the preaching. It's applied at repentance. It's applied at worship. It's applied at baptism. It's applied everywhere. We are a bloody people. That's what I'm saying. We are bloody people. But in the beginning, when they repented, or the Holy Ghost fell on them while they were preaching, and then Peter commanded them to get baptized in Jesus' name. Here's the point I'm trying to make. In the beginning, in apostolic days, they did not drag this thing out or tear it apart or stretch it apart. They got baptized, they repented, got the Holy Ghost, it all came together. So there was no question as where is the blood applied. It fell on them while the preaching was going on. They took them straight to the water and baptized them in Jesus' name. Could a person get the Holy Ghost without being cleansed by the blood? Not really. So if you get the Holy Ghost before you're baptized, there's some blood there somewhere. There's some grace and mercy there somewhere. Something had to happen. And then they get baptized in Jesus' name. So what I'm saying is, if someone comes in the church and he goes to the altar, get him prayed through to the Holy Ghost. Or get him to the water in Jesus' name. And if you have to drown him, pray him through the Holy Ghost in the water. Don't drag it out. Because that's where we wear ourselves to a total frazzle. Now, I can poke a lot of fun at ourselves because we deserve it. Okay? We do a lot of things that are just not totally in the book. I know of a case where a young man came to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that's exciting, isn't it? Everyone say exciting. It's exciting. He came to receive the Holy Ghost. He gets down front. He raises his hands because we tell him to. He stands there and he's worshiping away. the saints get very excited about him being there, and that's good. And they get around him, and they get to worship with him, and I don't know just how this happens, but these kinds of things do happen. The saints somehow sort of got divided. They sort of ganged up on one side of him here, and then they ganged up on one side of him here. He was in between these two, we'll call them teams, okay? In their excitement, they begin to sway him. And in more excitement, they begin to sort of toss him back and forth. And the saints really got into this. They were really into this. And this poor boy was being sort of tossed from one side to the other. And they were just shouting and having a tremendous time. And this boy is being thrown from one side to the other. Show me scripture and verse for that. It's not there. It's not there at all. He got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but he got it in self-defense. He got it because he had to get it. Do you understand? And they're just hooting and hollering and having a tremendous time at this boy's expense. He doesn't know any better. This is his first experience. He thinks this is all part of it. As far as he knows, this is part of this business of receiving the Holy Ghost. That's not God. That's us. That's one of our own traditions. I know of another case where a man came to receive the Holy Ghost. He had his hands in the air, and one brother got a hold of his ribs, and the brother got very excited, and he began to jump up and down in his excitement, and his fingers got to going up and down in this man's rib cage. Well, the man was just shaking and trembling and laughing and waving his hands, and from a distance it looked like this sinner was getting a tremendous blessing. But the truth of the matter is, if somebody gets a hold of your ribs and begins to go up and down on them, it's going to do something with you unless you're really different than the rest of us, okay? So the man finally got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but it had nothing to do with all of this business that's going on. Now, I remember when I came into this, the basement of that church was hot. I don't think we even had fans, did we, Brother Butcher? They were just a whole missionary setting, and they worshiped in the basement of the house, and they have one of the most beautiful churches today in the whole state, and I think one of the best churches in the whole state, too. But anyway, it's a tremendous thing, a tremendous work they've done. But when I came in, they were just there, and they were beginning, you might say, to do their work for that city and that community. But anyway, I remember there were all kinds of instructions given to me when I came into this and was praying for the Holy Ghost. And I think they all meant well. And I think that you have meant well. But it doesn't work. For example, they would get me down, and they would, I would pray hard because I wanted this so much. But I can look back now and tell that I was begging. I had a spirit of begging. I really did. I was so desperate to get it that I just wanted it, and I was willing to do anything. And Brother Butcher would say to me, he'd say, "Oh, Brother Lee," he'd say, "you just need to do anything Jesus wants you to do." Well, I was willing, I thought. But then he made a statement one day. He said, "You ought to be willing to climb the walls." Well, I had this mental picture of myself climbing the walls like a spider, and it was totally repulsive to me. And I thought, God, I'm never going to get the Holy Ghost because I'll never be able to climb the walls, so to speak, you know, in my mind. But they'd get me down, and they would massage my shoulders if they thought I was tired, and they would encourage me, and they would take my tie off, and they'd open up my collar, and they would do all these various things, and they would put their hands on my head, and I had more hair than I have now, and it would mess it up. And so then in my head, I was thinking about, you know, all this stuff. I used to leave church looking like I had been dragged through an old-fashioned washing machine wringer. I mean, really, folks. I was so bad, I went to God once. I said, "God, you've got to give me the Holy Ghost. If I don't get the Holy Ghost, all the clothes I've got are going to be ruined. Everything is going to be ruined." Because everything went to the cleaners on Monday. Everything went to the dry cleaners because everything was a mess. You understand what I'm saying? And then, I've heard this so much. They did this to me. Some of the saints would get around me, and Brother Butcher would always play the guitar, and he would keep singing to keep, you know, the altar service moving, and he's a master at that. But anyway, he would do all these things. But I was sort of at the mercy of those in the church, and they didn't really know what to do with me. And so some of them would say, they would say to me, "Let go!" Well, I don't know what you mean by let go. I don't know how to let go. You understand? Now, I know how to let go of this. I just let go like that. But when you're telling me to let go of whatever, I don't know how to let go. Others would say, "Hold on. Just hold on, Brother Lee. Hold on. Let go. Hold on." And then they would command me to yield. They'd say, "Yield," and shake me sometimes, which sort of scared me, you know, because I wasn't used to being manhandled like this. And they would say, "Yield." I don't know exactly what you mean. And then in their desperation, they would say, in Jesus' name, I command you to yield. And it was, my heart would nearly stop because they were commanding in the name of Jesus. And I didn't know what would happen if they commanded in the name of Jesus. You know what I'm saying? And then some people would say glory. Some people say Jesus. Some people say hallelujah. Well, I can only say one thing at a time. So I'd say so many hallelujahs, so many glories, so many Jesuses. And I'd go home without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's what I would do. See, all those things are our traditions. I mean, it's the best we know how to do. You know what I'm saying? We mean well, but we've got in this hour, we've got to get beyond that. We have got to get beyond those things. Where when we worship, when the service comes together, and we begin to worship the Lord, and the Spirit of God begins to move, and sinners begin to break and weep, or believers from other churches, that we would have enough of God in us to go to them, to lay hands on them, and to transmit faith. And they will receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, it's very important if you're going to be an altar worker. It's very important if you're going to be an altar worker to transmit faith. You cannot have anyone receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost if you do not transmit faith. I mean, if you've got your hands on somebody and you're thinking about, you know, a fight you had with the kids or your brother or sister before you got to church, unknown to you, that's what you're transmitting to them. You can scream hallelujah till you lose your voice. You can scream Jesus and command and demand until you deafen the candidate seeking for the Holy Ghost. But if in your heart you do not believe that they are going to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you will transmit the doubt that is in your heart. They will not pick up your words. They pick up what's in your spirit. That's why when I'm praying in altar services, I get very tired sometimes, especially if there are many, many people in the big church. I get tired and I can feel myself lose it. So I will stop praying. I take my hands off them. I'll lift my hands like this. If you ever see me doing this, you know that I'm trying to reconnect. I'll lift my hands like this and I'll worship the Lord and worship Him until I feel that connection again. Then I go back to that person and lay my hands on them again because I don't want to transmit the wrong thing. You understand what I'm saying? Because I'll tell you how I learned this. I'm a preacher and there are preachers in here. Preachers know when they've done it, really done it. They do. They know when they've really preached well. And it's just a wonderful feeling to know that God has used you and you've really done it. But we still like to hear you tell us that we've done it. You understand? That's why handshake and, oh, that helped me so much, whatever. It means so much to a preacher because when a preacher preaches, they give out a tremendous amount of virtue. And by you coming to them, you replace the virtue that has gone out of them. That's a whole new subject, but it's a tremendous subject. And I remember one night in a revival, I preached well as far as I was concerned. I thought it really came out good. And I was very happy with everything about it. And there was this sinner man that was in the audience. And he had come and wonderfully received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I mean, the man just got the Holy Ghost all over the place. He just spoke with tongues and spoke with tongues. It was tremendous. So when it was all said and done, I went to him and I said to him, I was talking to him and thanking him for coming and so glad for him, whatever. I said, I just was fishing for a compliment. That's exactly what I was doing. I'm being honest with you. I said, what do you think of the sermon? He looked at me and he said, Reverend, I never heard a word you said. He said, but I felt something. And just my ego just wiped me out. Just wiped me out right there. I've never asked that question again. If people want to volunteer, I'm grateful. But I'm not going to ask. Because he staggered me. He said, I never heard a word you said. He was looking right at me the whole sermon. He said, I never heard a word you said. He said, but what I felt. He said, I could feel it. You see, you transmit what's in your heart. I transmitted to him what was in my heart with anointing. And that is the thing that got him converted. You cannot reach sinners with intellect. You cannot reach them. We cannot reach this world with intellect. You cannot do it. You must reach them by faith. And it's what's in your heart that you will transmit to them. And you have got a hold of it. I feel in Pentecost we have failed our people because we should not allow people in our sanctuaries to yak and talk when altar services are going on. If they have to do that, they should go home or go to the lobbies or the foyers, because the altar is a birth chamber. And there's no place in a birth chamber for onlookers and just scoffers and whatever, and yakkers and gossipers. All that needs to be done out of the sanctuary, because the sanctuary becomes a birth chamber. And the altar service is the most important part of the entire service. That's why we had church, was to help someone, to minister to someone, to rescue someone, to get someone saved, to get someone into the kingdom of God, pulling them out of the fire. That's what it's all about. That's why we come to these services. That's why we do these things, is to rescue the perishing, to somehow reach the lost before it is eternally too late. So it is important that you believe in your heart that they are going to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Lift your hands and thank the Lord for that. Lord Jesus, that you will help us. God, that you will help us in the name of the Lord Jesus. I praise you, God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. I worship you, God, that you would make of us a mighty army for the cause of the Lord. That in this hour, God, that we will somehow pull ourselves together in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. That our motives will be pure. God, that you will anoint us. That you will anoint us, I pray, to reach, O Lord, those that come into our midst. In the name of Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. But one night, I got so tired. I prayed so long. And I was so tired, I didn't care anymore what it sounded like. And I got stammering lips, and I was just, and it's, and I could hear all this. It just sounded like nothing to me. It just, I thought, this, I must look so strange doing this. All these things are going through my thoughts. I thought, this is ridiculous. I thought, I don't care what it takes. I've got to get it. I've got to get it tonight. I've got to get the Holy Ghost. And you get to the point where you don't care. And I didn't care. And I was so tired that I lost the articulation. I didn't worry about forming the words. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I lost the desire to make it sound hallelujah, hallelujah. I just lost it. It became something you couldn't even recognize as hallelujah. It became something totally different from that. And when I got in a place, Sister Butcher did the thing that helped me. She helped me. She said, Sister Brother Lee, let your tongue go. Relax your lips and just speak it. Because I had said hallelujah so long with my tongue until my jaws were practically set and my lips were just frozen. And she knew if I would just relax my lips that God would take over and it would just flow out of me. And it did. When I yielded to what she said, I mean, I just began to speak with tongues. I just began to speak with tongues. It just poured out. But you've got to yield to it. You've got to let it go. That's why when I'm praying with someone and I hear them begin to lose control of what they're saying, and you can't do that if you're standing behind them. You can't do it. You got to be down with them, working with them individually. The moment I begin to hear them lose control of what they're saying, that little slur, that little tug that comes to their tongue, I say to them, that little tug that's on your tongue is the power of the Holy Ghost. Let that go any way it wants to go. Let your tongue go and give voice to what you feel. Let your tongue go. Don't worry what it sounds like. Just speak it. And I don't know how many people have just burst out speaking with tongues. Because, see, it's new to them. It's not new to us. We know how this works. We know how this functions. But a person that is new to Pentecost does not know what has a hold of them. It's different for them. They don't know what to think or how to work with it. Can you identify with that? How many of you have related to some of the things I've said here tonight? You have gone through these things. So I know that. And so when I don't command a person to yield, I help them to know how to yield. I tell them how to yield. Let your tongue go. Give voice to that. I think I did that to you right here last year. You had prayed for the Holy Ghost before you came here. Had you? You had. But you got the Holy Ghost in about 5 minutes, as I remember. Was it 5 minutes or longer? Yeah. Because I let you have it with bow and barrel. I just let everything I had go toward you in faith. I remember you spoke with tongues beautifully, and it came just like that. But I remember telling you, let your tongue go and give voice to that. You can see those things. You can feel those things in people. And here's another thing that is difficult about working with Pentecostals, is that we say to people, don't tell them they have the Holy Ghost. Let them tell us. That's one of our traditions. In Acts chapter 10, they told them they had it. If I had not prayed so long for the Holy Ghost and had heard it so much in the services, when I got it, I would not have known what it was. Because it's a totally different experience. I've seen people fall out in the spirit and lie in trances and speak with tongues for sometimes an hour or more and get up, first-time visitors, and have no idea what has happened to them or what's going on because they've never been in a service like this before. So I take them aside, open the scriptures to them and say, this is what happened in the beginning. Did you hear yourself speak words you could not understand? Yes. All these things came out. I say, that is the Holy Ghost. Look here in the scriptures. This is how they got it in the beginning. This is how they got it in the Bible. They spoke with other languages as the Holy Ghost came into their lives and hearts. This is what's just happened to you. Help them to claim it. Help them to identify it. Help them to possess it. It's tragic, but I've been in some areas where they've let people come and they've prayed in tongues for 2 or 3 months. And they still believe they don't have the Holy Ghost because they're waiting for that person to realize they have the Holy Ghost to tell them. They told them in the beginning that they had the Holy Ghost. You can help people to identify, to claim what they have in God. You understand what I'm saying? You can't tell them they don't have it. But if you hear them speak with tongues, ask them. I don't ask people ever, did you get the Holy Ghost? Because in the area where I come from, the Holy Ghost is a white dove in stained glass windows. Do you understand what I'm saying? I live in a Catholic area. They don't know what the Holy Ghost is. I know what the Holy Ghost is. The Holy Ghost is speaking with tongues. Catholics don't know that. So when you ask them, do you have the Holy Ghost? If they've had confirmation, they'll say yes. You see what I'm saying? I'm not interested in that. Did you speak words you could not understand? Yes. Just something spoke. I couldn't control it. These words came out. That's it. That's the Holy Ghost. That's it. That's it. Does it register with you? Does it make sense? I'm so sorry about all this. It's very difficult for me to keep my head together listening to all this. But would you raise your hands and would you worship the Lord? Lord Jesus, I praise you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I worship you, 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 Jesus. Hotolo horobrachashotolo orobrakadolo orobrakashata. Hotolo horobrachashotolo orobrakatekashatakaha. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. So, what are we arriving at here tonight? What are we concluding? That you need to get involved with the person that's praying for the Holy Ghost. You need to get out from behind them, get in front of them where you can see what they're doing, listen to their voice, and pray with them and transmit faith. I've seen people in our altars have their hands on people and talking to someone near them about dresses or a shopping spree or golf or racquetball scores. They've got their hands on a person praying to the Holy Ghost, talking about these things. That to me is incredible. Because they're going to end up with racquetball, and they're going to get the Holy Ghost. Or they're going to have a great desire to go shopping tomorrow, and they're going to have the Holy Ghost. Because what's in your heart is what you transmit to people. And we have demanded people everywhere to come to our altars. You know, we want them to come to our altars and cry and pray, as I've already said. But you know where the real altar is? The real altar is in your heart. This is where it really happens, right here. You can do this. You can go through this. It's not a bad thing, but it doesn't really happen here. It's got to happen here, before you get here. So it really happens back here somewhere in the pew. Your real kneeling, your real bending is done here in your heart. Real repentance takes place here in your heart. And I know for sure, as a man of God, that if visitors are willing to get up from where they're seated and walk down that aisle in front of everybody in this congregation, sometimes strangers and visitors, then they must want something. There must be something in them that's reaching for something. And I interpret that to be repentance. There's a heart change. There's a turn in their heart. And they're looking for something. And they want something. And they come down here. And when they do, or I go to them, if they're willing to raise their hand, even in a pew, if they're willing to stand here and just raise their hands and worship God, that means they want something. I mean, if they're willing to stand here and do this, something's happening, people, in their heart. Something's happening inside of them. I have prayed numerous people through the Holy Ghost in pews, in baptistries, outside of dressing rooms, in foyers, in offices. Because the Holy Ghost is easy to receive. It's a matter of you. Thank you so much. It's a matter of you wanting the Holy Ghost. It's a matter of you desiring the Holy Ghost. It's a matter of you reaching out for the Holy Ghost. But as I've said before here tonight, some people are struggling with vices. Weeping is a struggle with a vice that they are addicted to or they're enslaved to. And they're struggling with that thing. It's not repentance. They're struggling with that. Repentance is the condition of the heart. And when the heart turns toward God, God will give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, years ago, and they still do a lot of this in the Midwest, what happens is people come to the altar, then they come back the next service, get baptized, and they begin to tarry for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Okay? I've had people walk up to me, and I probably shouldn't tell you where, but these were preachers. They walked up to me one time because it is known that I work with a lot of people and pray lots of people through the Holy Ghost, and a lot of people get the Holy Ghost. And you know, there are preachers among us that don't believe they're getting the Holy Ghost. You have to deal with all these things. And preachers walked up to me and they said, well, you get it quick, you lose it quick. Or they'll say, you get it easy, you leave easy. And what they're really saying is, they didn't get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's what they're really saying to me. But I posed this question to them, and it was just as kind as I know how to be. I said, well, when I came into this, we prayed for weeks and weeks and weeks to get people through the Holy Ghost. Some people, some saints fasted days for some of us to get the Holy Ghost. It took weeks and months. Even in my mother's church, where she went to church in Knoxville, some people prayed for months to get the Holy Ghost. Well, if you stay around Pentecost for months and months and months and come to every service and go to the altar every service, you're going to hear enough preaching to know all the do's and the don'ts that are involved with living for God. So by the time you get the Holy Ghost, you're totally converted to this particular theology. Okay? But in the meantime, there are so many people that come in to visit that we lose before they get the Holy Ghost because they cannot fathom living this way or letting go of this or changing this or this. And we've lost so many people because by the time you pray the one or two through the Holy Ghost, there were another 10 or 12 over here that if we'd have had faith and apostolic procedures, they'd have got the Holy Ghost before we lost them. Okay? That was the old way. Now, our services across this country are powerful and tremendous. People are coming in getting the Holy Ghost just like that, just like that, just like that. So what's the problem? The problem is now the pastor and the saints have got to be willing to instruct and hold classes for new converts to teach them how to live for God. We used to clean them up before they got the Holy Ghost. Now we've got to clean them up after they get the Holy Ghost. And some churches are not willing to put in the time and classes for new converts and Bible studies private to teach people, to train them, to anchor them. Because our tradition says, when you get the Holy Ghost, you have arrived. I'm sorry, you have not arrived. You have just walked through a door into a whole new way of life. And the Holy Ghost does not petrify you, and He does not make a robot out of you. You will have some of the same problems after you have the Holy Ghost that you had before you got the Holy Ghost. But the difference is now you have someone to help you with your problems, where before you did not have anyone to help you with your problems. Amen? Amen. Clap for the Lord for just a moment. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. So, there are a couple more things I want to get across to you here tonight. So I said to these preachers, I said, well, we prayed long and hard, weeks and months and days and fasted to get the Holy Ghost. But where are all those converts? Most of them are backslidden. Because the tragedy of Pentecost is for wayward children. If all the people in our cities were in our churches that at one time had the Holy Ghost, were baptized in Jesus' name, our churches would be running over. So I said to these preachers, where are all those people that you prayed for weeks and months and trained and taught Bible studies to? Where are they? Didn't they get the Holy Ghost after 5 or 6 weeks of tarrying? Where are they? Get it long, get it easy. The real answer is, it's not whether or not you get the Holy Ghost, it's whether the Holy Ghost gets you. That is the answer. That is the answer. So get it long or get it hard and or easy. The key is, do they really get into a place where God can get a hold of them? That's what consecration and dedication is. Repentance is an opening of the heart and soul so that God might come in. But dedication and consecration, they are repentance extended day by day, day by day, day by day, day by day. That's why some new converts just absolutely excel so powerfully and wonderfully, because they continue that repentance day by day, day by day. They throw themselves into it. See what I'm saying? Makes a tremendous difference. A tremendous difference. Just a glorious difference. The thing is, do people really want to serve God? Do they want to serve God? What, yes, you had a question. And sometimes I will know things in the Spirit, and I will tell that person what I know. And then I'll say to them, you must come to grips with this. You must let go of this. And God will give you the Holy Ghost. And sometimes the fact that I know lets them know that God knows who they are. And then they're so broken with God's, you know, intricate, detailed interest in their lives that they just, in essence, cry, oh, what a Savior. And they will raise their hands and they'll just worship God and get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Am I helping you at all? I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? And I'm just talking to you as I feel in the Spirit, not any particular outline, sermon or whatever, or session, but just as I feel, because you see, you've heard it all. You don't need to be inspired to do it. Obviously, you want to do it. You need to just know some of the know-how, how to work with people. And don't be afraid to work with people. You know, the worst they can do is tell you to go away. I'm not interested, you know. That's the worst they can do. And I'm not retarded. So if they say go away, you make an about face and you go the other direction. It's no big deal. Just do what they say. just if someone's going to punch you out, you can sort of feel that in the spirit before it gets that far and you can slip away or something. But basically, here's how it really is, okay? People are people. People are people. And it's just amazing. All people are alike. All people are alike. No matter how fine a suit they wear or how beautiful the dress, people are people. And if they're lost, they're lost. Okay, my time is gone. But I just really want to help you to get it together. How many of you have prayed someone through the Holy Ghost before? You have prayed someone through the Holy Ghost. Isn't it a thrill? There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. To me, it's the greatest ministry in the whole world. It's just street work, door-to-door work, laying hands on people, helping people to receive the Holy Ghost. It's the greatest ministry in the world. And you are the most valuable person in the whole church to your pastor. If you are an altar worker, if after he has preached hard and long and he has unburdened his soul among you, and you can go to those that are touched by the words and the anointing, and you can help them to receive the Holy Ghost, you have put the finishing touches on, the crowning touch on that service, and you have lifted the burden from his shoulders. I was in a service before the holidays, and I could not believe there were so many people at the altar. There were so many people at the altar struggling, and just me, and I can't pray for everyone all at once. And a lot of, just hardly anybody was in the altar working with them. They were talking, and I kept going to Mike, so let's raise our hands and worship God again. Let's not let go of this. Don't let go of this. God is here. He's doing something. Hold on to this. People are receiving the Holy Ghost. Don't stop praying. Come near. Come near. It's amazing they wouldn't. You know why saints are like that? I'll tell you why they're like that. They have forgotten what it's like to be lost. And they have forgotten that this is a life and death situation down here. They have forgotten that. They're saved. And so they don't care anymore. And that's tragic. And sometimes I pray people through the Holy Ghost. They've got a wonderful experience. And some dear heart at the back of the service, been yakking all day in the altar service, walk up to them and say, oh honey, don't give up. Just keep praying. You'll get it. You'll get it. I feel like slugging people like that. Because that's confusing to the person that just got the Holy Ghost and spoke with tongues. How do you know whether they spoke with tongues or not? You weren't even up here. I heard them speak with tongues. I pushed one person away. I said, listen, I heard them speak with tongues. They have it. In other words, I was saying kindly, get lost is what I was saying. Because it's a desperate work. I mean, the Bible talks about pulling them out of the fire. This is not a Sunday go-to-meeting situation. This is a death struggle. This is life and death. And if we're ever going to do it, folks, now is the time to do it. Now is the time to do it. Now is the time to do it. Get involved. Lay your hands on people. You've got nothing to lose. Nothing to lose. Because the moment you lay your hands on someone, you become a channel through which the Holy Ghost can flow. And if you ever get a touch of this, if you ever get it, Sister Beatty, it's true, isn't it? If you ever get a touch of this, if you ever get the experience of being able to touch people and you can feel the flow through the Spirit and feel the Holy Ghost come through you and feel words come to you in the Spirit that helps them, if you ever get involved with that, you will never, ever be able to just be a bench warmer again. You are ruined. You've got to be involved. You cannot live without it. You just want people to receive the Holy Ghost. You want them to speak with tongues. You want them to get involved. You live for it. There's nothing else like it. It's glorious and wonderful and powerful. This wonderful, wonderful Holy Ghost. I got a feeling that most of you could lift your hands and begin to speak with tongues right now. And I don't have to command you either. I can say yield. Just yield to the touch of God that is in this place. I think we will, and I'm all finished. But would you lift your hands and would you just yield to the presence of God that is on you? here tonight in this place, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. That's it. That's it. Let your voice out. Let your voice out. Let the Holy Ghost speak through you. In the name of Jesus. 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 That's it. That's it. Let your voice out. Let your tongue go and just give voice to what you feel. Let your tongue go and just give voice to what you feel. Let the Holy Ghost speak through you right there where you're seated tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I think everybody is involved. Just everybody is involved. Can you feel the flow through of the Spirit? You can feel the wonderful touch of the Holy Ghost in this place. Let there be revelation here. Let there be, oh God, revelation to understand, to see. Let there be understanding in the human heart here tonight that have heard these few words in the name of Jesus. That's it, son. That's it. Never to be the same again. Just never to be the same again. To be valuable for the kingdom of God. To be valuable for the kingdom of God. To be able to do something for the kingdom in these closing hours of time. You can do it. You can do it. God will help you to do it in the name of Jesus. He will help you to do it in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I will be used by God. I will be used by God. I will do it in the name of Jesus. I will surrender myself. I will yield myself to the touch of God, to the touch of the Master's hand. I will yield my voice. I will yield my members. I will stretch forth my hands. I will find boldness to go to people. I will not fear what man can do unto me, but I will yield myself as an instrument in the hands of the Lord. I will, in the name of Jesus. I will, by the power of God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. That's it. That's it. Would you just stand and lay your hands on somebody? Go and pray for somebody in the sanctuary. Lay your hands upon someone. Pray for them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes.